And now, as he doubled as a hula dancer in the movie about Gilligan's Island, here he is, Dr. History.
You know, I wondered how he was going to transition from an island to the Old West.
It was really bad.
It was bad. How you doing, Zeb?
I'm not bad, but you know, that's interesting that you should say that. Transition from the islands and hula girls and go to the Old West. Of course, they had dance hall girls in the Old West, of which you reported on before.
Very carefully.
Oh, I mean, put one foot ahead of the other. What are you going to talk about today, my friend?
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yes.
But I'm going to talk about the myth and the mystery regarding that whole situation.
Well, you mean like...
We kind of alluded to it before, but
okay.
I'm going to go through... more of the details today.
All right, so now, are you a believer in, up front, we've already talked about Billy the Kid, and I told you that I do not think that he died at the hands of Pat Garrett. I think, actually, Pat Garrett let him go. I don't think that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid died in South America. I think they lived to be a ripe old age here in this country. I'm going against some of the grain.
Okay, but you and I agree, and I think once I get through this story, I think you'll lean that way still more.
Okay, go ahead.
So, all right, well, we're going to start out with, you know, the situation looked pretty hopeless for Butch and the Sundance Kid. They were wounded, but they were in good spirits. The two Robin Hood outlaws loaded up their Colt 45s. They made a few jokes, strapped on their extra ammunition belts, and courageously ran into approximately 20,000 angry bullets fired by Bolivian troops. And thus, two of the most successful outlaws in the Old West met their maker outside a dingy South American cantina. But is that really what happened? Now, the movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, portrays it that way. The scholars, I mean, all down through time, have been divided on this. Now, some suggest that Butch and Sundance were, in fact, killed in San Vicente, Bolivia, in 1908.
Mm-hmm.
Now, others, however, suggest that two clever banditos lived to a ripe old age, probably here in the United States. So we'll go back there. By 1900, the Old West had become a little too civilized and also a little bit too hot for the Wild Bunch. I mean, there are famous hideouts like Robber's Roost, Hole in the Wall. They weren't safe anymore. Roads and telephones made escaping from a job a little more difficult. The Pinkerton Detective Agency and law officials had become more of a threat. Butch Cassidy told his associates in crime that the law had become too acquainted with how they were doing business.
Well, you know, one of the facts is, Doc, just a minute, one of the things that really, really spoiled Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid on their supposed hiding away at the Hole in the Wall is when they started having every Wednesday visits from the Schwanz man.
You know, you can follow that truck, you know, pretty easily. And, you know, Butch was a little nervous. He didn't want to get caught or have him, you know, get killed. I mean, you know, he was an outlaw, but he didn't want to get killed. So in February of 1901, Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, and Etta Place boarded a ship for South America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a time, they apparently tried living a quiet life. They bought a large ranch in Patagonia near the Chilean border. It's about 750 miles south of Buenos Aires. Well, both Cassidy and Sundance, they were good stockmen. I mean, they knew how to raise cattle. But then their ranch prospered. Etta kept a neat house and was reportedly a good cook. And for the next 4 years, Sundance and Etta made several trips back to the United States. Because the trio was thousands of miles away from home, from the United States, they didn't bother to hide the location of where they were on their ranch. So they wrote letters to friends and family back home, and what they didn't know was that the Pinkertons had been bribing the local post officials to open up mail to family and known friends. Well, with this, they obtained, obviously illegally by mail tampering, the where they thought they were. So they hired a guy by the name of Detective Frank Damio and sent him to Buenos Aires to investigate. Well, by 1904, Butch and Sundance realized that they'd been a little too careless with their correspondence, and they'd have to move on. So, and they were getting a little bored and restless with the quiet life of a ranch anyway. So they put the ranch up for sale, and it was purchased by an Englishman. And as they left Argentina, they decided to start off with a bang. So they robbed a bank. And after they closed out their account at that same bank.
I was going to say, yes.
And they made a good haul, probably about what would be equivalent to $100,000 today. And then they hit a number of other banks, and as usual, the robberies were well planned. There's evidence that actually Etta dressed up, strapped on a six-shooter, and joined the boys in the robbery. She actually was, probably part of the gang when they were doing the robberies.
And she was very attractive, too, by the way.
Yeah. And she was a good horsewoman, an excellent shot. But sometime around 1906, Etta left South America, and some say that she may have gone to Denver. Some think that maybe Sundance and her just decided to call it quits.
Mm-hmm.
So she left. So Butch and Sundance, they continued to do pretty well down in South America. But things were starting to heat up, thanks to their crime spree. So in 1906 or 7, they decided to let things cool down a bit. So they took jobs at the Concordia tin mines at Tres Cruces in Bolivia. And the two outlaws were considered really good employees. They worked hard. They pleased their employees with hard work. And ironically, they actually helped guard the payroll from bandits.
Oh, boy.
So, and who better to guard the payroll than two bandits?
There you go.
Neither Butch nor Sundance would think of stealing from an outfit that they worked for. So, I mean, they did have a code of ethics, after all. They were, they had some standards. But by 1908, the outlaws had given notice to the Concordia mine, and they went back to their old profession full-time. Being a company man and employed just was too dull. So, anyway, they made themselves quite unpopular with the train officials, the mining people, the law enforcement. But what they'd do is they'd pull off a robbery, and they'd go into the Andes and hide while they were being looked for. So,
mm-hmm.
Now, evidently, there were two bandits, and we're not absolutely sure if it was Butch and Sundance couldn't resist the temptation of a rather large payroll. So, with bandanas covering their faces, Colts in hand, they robbed a mule train carrying the loot near somewhere in Bolivia. But they fled into the rugged mountains, but 2 days later, they found themselves in the Bolivian town of San Vicente.
Uh-huh.
Now, what happened and how it happened is still open to some debate, but if this was indeed Butch's operation, he got a little careless. And normally, he would have been more careful. He would have camped in the bush for a while and watching the back trail, letting things cool off, just making sure they weren't being followed. But they got a little anxious for a bed and breakfast, a bed and a meal, and they were well-armed, but as they went into San Vicente, they inadvertently asked the local policeman where they could stay. Well, he directed them to a local inn, and the two outlaws unloaded their mules and ordered some food, and just, again, I'm thinking they were a little careless if it was indeed Butch and Sundance, but the policeman recognized some of the mules that belonged to a good friend. Now, the policeman also knew that the mine payroll had been robbed by two well-armed Yankees, and there was a group of soldiers that was camped outside of town. So the local man sent word to the officer in charge and asked for help. Well, it wasn't long before soldiers had taken position around the cantina. Now, of course, if you can picture the old movie, a gun battle of pretty high intensity ensued, and this is where the story gets a little bit crazy. The battle might have lasted all night, it might have lasted an hour, it might have lasted 5 minutes. Some say that the kid took a bullet and Butch dragged him back into the cantina, and no one is sure. Others propose that when the situation was hopeless, that Butch shot his partner and then used the last round on himself because he didn't want to be taken alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two men in question were killed in this gunfight and buried in an Indian cemetery close by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one local tradition suggests that at least one of the dead men was a Chilean guy.
Uh-oh.
Now, the mine's payroll was found among the dead men's belongings, and some accounts say the soldiers also found a Tiffany watch that could have belonged to Etta. They don't know. But neither the soldiers nor the police identified the bodies very carefully, and the mine got the payroll back, the men were dead, everybody was happy. Now, for a while, there was a lot of skepticism about the shooting, but it kind of became accepted that Butch and Sundance had been killed. Now, South American newspapers, which are even less reliable than American, told how two Yankee bandits had met their end, and many of the circumstances in the accounts were contradictory. American officials were pretty certain that at least one of the dead men had been a Wild Bunch, but there were just too many holes in the story and too many rumors. Now, were Butch and Sundance at San Vicente at all? Well, could Butch and Sundance have somehow switched places with the other men at the last minute and escaped? Were they able to bribe someone and get out of the hacienda before the shooting was over? Could someone else have dressed up in their clothes before or after they were shot? Was this one of Butch's plans to keep the South American authorities off his trail? Could the two dead men be another pair of outlaws known to be working in the area? If the dead men were other outlaws, did Butch and Sundance just take advantage of the situation and plan a quick retirement?
Well, and
those are all the questions that we don't have answers to.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I'm going to interrupt you right there. These guys weren't stupid. I do not want the general public to think at all that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid were dumb, because they were highly intelligent, very smart, both had an amazing sense of humor, and of all the things that I've read about both these gentlemen, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, it leads me to think that they knew the heat was on. And they also had a plan that they could come back to the United States with the general populace thinking they had died in Bolivia and live and flourish here in the United States, and the Pinkertons and everybody else would leave them alone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Well, in that last robbery, as I mentioned, if it had been Butch, he would have been much more careful in the planning and operation. He wouldn't have been so careless. But, you know, as late as the 1920s, the Pinkerton Detective Agency still assumed the outlaws were living in South America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, now here's the other side of that story a little bit. Letters to friends and family stopped almost instantly, but there's explanation for that, too. The men probably figured out that mail was no longer safe. Now, further, how do we explain the number of unrelated but seemingly credible Butch and Sundance sightings?
Right.
Now, in Sundance's family, most of them believe that he died in Bolivia. Now, Butch's side of the family, they tell of family visits occurring after he supposedly died.
Didn't one of those take place in Utah?
What's that?
Didn't one of those sightings from the family take place in Utah, didn't it?
Well, yeah, let me just go through some of these sightings that happened really all over. Some of his friends from the Wild Bunch say that he visited them after San Vicente. Now, Butch's sister says that around 1925,
mm-hmm.
Butch arrived at the family ranch for a visit, and Butch visited with his father, several of his brothers, and he basically said he was ashamed of what he'd done, that he spent a good deal of time in Mexico where Sundance and Etta were living. His brothers and sisters asked him about the shootout, and he told them that he'd learned more about it since coming back to the States than he ever knew down south. He said a good friend in Bolivia had told officials that dead bodies were his and Sundance's, hoping to give his friend a second chance. So Butch told his family that he'd been to Europe, he'd been to Alaska in his travels, and so the family agreed to keep this as a family secret. And it wasn't until the 1970s that Lula, which I believe was a sister, broke the family silence in a book called Butch Cassidy, My Brother.
Right.
And the book sold well, but the Park family didn't back her up. This was a family secret.
Right.
Now, another sighting is he's reported to visit both of the Bassett sisters from Brown's Hole on several occasions. Ann Bassett and her husband said they had a reunion with the Wild Bunch leader at Butch's cabin in Nevada.
Mm.
Now, Josie Bassett told of several visits. Another guy, Matt Warner, who was a former member of the Wild Bunch, had a daughter named Joyce, and said that Joyce talks about the visits from Butch Cassidy. Another guy, Tom Vernon of Baggs, Wyoming, said that Butch visited him around the same time on one of his trips to Wyoming.
Which one?
Reunited with his old outlaw friend, Elza Lay, and you know, none of Butch's friends would have thought twice about lying to protect him.
Yeah.
So they would have, you know, denied ever seeing him. But now there's also some evidence that there were some fake Butches who went about pretending to be the old outlaw. But, you know, people that knew him, they knew
yeah.
who he was.
Yeah.
Now, another circulated story was that Butch spent some time in Spokane as a businessman.
Hmm.
Now, here's the real kicker, that there were two researchers that wanted to lay this mystery to rest. So they went to Bolivia, they dug up some bodies, the team had permission to take the bones back to Oklahoma where they could study them scientifically and have an analysis performed. And from the DNA, from the remains, neither set matched up.
Really?
Butch nor Sundance.
Oh, my.
So the researchers basically believe, well, we just dug up the wrong grave.
Mm.
And so the DNA proof isn't there. Like I say, we can list the pro and the con of the reasons why they did die, but we can equally look at reasons why they didn't die.
All right, let me ask you this question. Which one was it, Butch Cassidy or the Sundance Kid, was in a restaurant? I believe it was in New York City, and I can't remember the exact circumstances, and I believe that they were having breakfast, and somebody walked up, and there were, probably 30, 40 people in the room, and said, "Butch, how are you?" And they started talking to him, and I guess Butch Cassidy had to do all he could to try to shut the guy up and finally excused himself and walked out. And there was a sighting right after that in New York City. Have you heard that story?
You know, I haven't heard that particular one, but I have heard of some sightings back east, which could correlate with exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense.
But, you know, when you talk about...
proof was not there. You know, the letters to the family and friends.
Right.
And if you want to say that they died, the letters quit. The robbery sort of followed Butch's operation. They did find some personal effects. But, you know, again, if you were trying to fake things, you would leave personal effects on these other two bodies.
Absolutely.
That just makes sense.
You know...
That would hopefully identify them as being Butch and Sundance.
Well, when you look at the overall picture of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and the myths and the truths, actually, the truths are far more, they're harder to absorb than some of the myths, because these guys, like
right.
I said, they were not dumb. And for all the different relatives and all the different friends to have cited those two long after their supposed demise in South America, it leads me to think, just like I said with Billy the Kid, I'm not sure that history has got it correct.
Well, and there's actually doubt if there was even a shootout. There's actually, that's not even a proven fact that there was even a shootout, according to some of the research I've done.
Right.
So, you're right. There's just a lot of holes in this whole theory, you know, that they died. And again, you mentioned it, you know, they were pretty sharp guys.
Yeah.
If they wanted to leave that life and come back to the States, they would have to have a way to say they were dead.
Well,
that would be the only way.
Who else in the Old West, besides Billy the Kid and besides Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, that comes to mind off the top of your head? Really, the myth said one thing, but history might have said another.
Well, Jesse James.
Yep, that's right.
That's another one that, again, has got a few holes in the theory of what really happened to Jesse James.
And so. Jesse James is a classic case of, Mr. Howard, they call him the coward, went up and shot
right.
Jesse in the back of the head and everything. And I've read numerous accounts by some really reputable authors that have said that is absolutely hogwash.
Yeah, and that's another one where, as I recall, that they could not, I think they lost the body, or they,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly, but I don't know if they actually had the right body or they knew where he was. I'm not sure on that one.
You know, people don't realize, though, and Doc, I've only got a minute left, so respond to this, but people don't realize, here today, in this age of computer technology and DNA and everything, it has been made so much easier for us, our generation, etc. But look back 150 years, how easy, honestly, it would have been to pull the wool over history.
Oh, sure. And because so much was not written, you know, until years and years later, just like Lula wrote that book about Bush in, 1970, you know, how many years passed over those years that she maybe things she forgot, and who knows?
Yeah.
It's an interesting theory, but I lean towards what you said. I lean towards that they got away. Maybe I'm just a romanticist. I don't know.
Yeah. I still think, though, that Billy the Kid lived to be into the 1940s and, quite frankly, was the personage of Brushy Bill Roberts. I honestly believe that.
Yeah.
Anyway, got to run, but I want to say you hit a home run today. I mean, you're better than Babe Ruth. You really hit it out of the park. That was an excellent analogy of what happened. Thank you again, Dr. Ken Turner, dear friend, and Dr. History segment. God bless. Oh, and by the way, I didn't have time this morning, but I wanted to share next week. Do you mind if I read that poem that you had written, Ode to My Countrymen?
Well, it's kind of... I don't know. Yeah, that's fine. It's kind of goofy, but...
No, I absolutely respect you for it, and I just wanted to ask permission and kind of embarrass you by asking permission on the air. What could you say? Anyway, God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day, Zeb.
Thank you, sir. Dear friend, a nice guy, Dr. Ken Turner. Thank you so much.